the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, on WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Adbiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Campbell.
Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPIN.
Now, here is Hank Kaiser.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard,
and Jim Reed,
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the nocturne, we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingham Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dell here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show. And this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
Some of the great voices that you've heard, if you've listened to WPTF for 100 years, no, probably didn't have any of these announcers. So I think the earliest that I put on this thing was from the 40s, probably. You know, Gertsch and Jim Reed and all those guys. That was probably their earliest. Kay Kaiser.
Well, I'm very honored, Mike, that you would put me along with Bill Friday. That's been
part of the fun of this. I started this as the intro for a show that Tony Rigsby and Tom Kearney and I did about the history of WPTF. It was for the 65th anniversary, and so that was the intro. That was the opening music and whatever, a montage. So I have added greatly to it over the years, and it's been fun to kind of put people in their proper place in there. Yeah. I like putting people in their place, but this is a different thing. So yeah. I wanted to make sure that you and Mr. Curtis were near Dr. Friday. And I'm my voice is not on there. I put this together originally, it's kind of my baby. But
Charles Kuralt though does mention you. The voice
no,
of
no,
Charles.
No, that's Charles Osgood.
Yeah, Osgood.
It would have been nice if Mr. Kuralt had mentioned me. I would have appreciated that. What a great guy. Both of those guys, heroes of mine. But that's just part of it. We talk about it a lot. People comment to me a lot about that montage, and I'm very proud of it. So
it's good. We'll,
By golly, you never know who's listening to the Weekend Gardener and who's going to call. We have our insurance commissioner, Mike Causey, on the line. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning. I just want to say I'm traveling today, Eastern North Carolina, going to Pamlico and Beaufort counties.
Oh, wow.
Attending a funeral for a World War II veteran.
Oh, wow.
But I heard so much conversation about Dr. Pepper.
Rufus had an accident, Commissioner. He dropped a good deal of it.
So. Well, we made a fuel stop in Kinston, and I normally don't drink sodas, but I had to get me a Dr. Pepper.
All right.
Did you get some nabs too, Commissioner?
I did.
Oh, have one for Rufus.
Yeah, doggone right.
I made a big mess, Commissioner.
That's all right.
Rufus, you had the comment about the dockweed. Was that burdock? And is that the same as what we used to call burdock that grew up around the barn?
I think you're exactly right. We called it dock, and I think burdock is the same thing. And it has a velvety kind of feel to it, and it almost looks like a tobacco stalk. Mm-hmm. Does that sound like what you're talking about, Mike?
No, well, I think what you're talking about is it's mullein, M-U-L-L-E-I-N.
Yeah, that's it. Yes.
That's some sort of herb, right?
Well, I think it was used for, was that used for medicinal purposes, you know, decades, centuries ago? I don't know, or over the years.
So I think I read that, but I let them grow. They come up along the roadside. You see them in fields, but mm-hmm. they have a real pretty bloom. It's a real tall spike, sometimes over 6 feet.
Yeah.
I just consider it like a wildflower.
Yeah.
Right. It's pretty. It's really pretty up in the mountains because it grows better up there. It seems like it's cooler, so I guess the cool nights help it to be a lot prettier. And it's almost like it always reminds me of lamb's ear because it's really soft and fuzzy. Yeah.
And the bloom reminds me too of a calla lily, sort of.
Huh.
Here you've got the lamb's ear like leaves, and that the one I'm talking about, Mike, has a yellow bloom. Is that right?
It's a yellow bloom, and the leaves are large.
It can be as large as an elephant ear sometimes.
It almost reminds me of when it first starts growing like a wild tobacco plant.
Correct. We call rabbit tobacco.
Right, yeah, rabbit. You ever smoked it?
Yeah, absolutely. I smoke corn silks and rabbit tobacco. No kidding.
All at the same time?
Well, I never mixed them up. But when I remember when I was a boy, we would dry rabbit tobacco leaves and get up behind the barn and smoke them.
Well, Commissioner, this plant, mullein, M-U-L-L-E-I-N, according to something that Phil just gave me, was used to make medicine for cough, whooping cough, tuberculosis, bronchitis, hoarseness, colds, all kinds of swine flu, it says. So, I don't know.
Well, we may need to start growing some of that.
That's right.
Package it and sell it.
Yeah, might be good. Somebody may already have. While I have you on the line, Commissioner, I wanted to ask you, you are attending a funeral today, but you have been all over the state, the eastern part of the state, talking about hurricane awareness, and there are a lot of things that you as an insurance commissioner can remind us of while I got you.
Well, people do need to know what to do before, during, and after a storm. And at least with a hurricane, we get a little warning, but it's still good to prepare. You know, they say hurricanes are not like tornadoes. A hurricane, you might know a week or two ahead of time they're headed this way, but they spawn off tornadoes that there's no warning. So,
right.
We were talking about this the other day. Somebody was telling me every time there's a threat of a storm, they fill up the bathtubs with water, and I do that too. It's just a good idea. I'm in the country, have well water, so having a supply of water and food and batteries, something to keep you going for 2 or 3 days in case you're stranded, is a good idea. And I do tell people to go to the website for the Department of Insurance, ncdoi.gov. It has a lot of tips on there. But that is a good point. You know, storm safety, water safety, all of those things. And we've been telling people that flood insurance is not covered under homeowners policy, so be sure you check with your agent to get flood insurance if you want that covered.
Excellent. Thank you so much. It's always an honor for you to call us and to speak with you, Commissioner Causey.
Well, thank you. I just got one last question.
Yeah. Phil Campbell's on with us.
Oh, Phil. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I met you over at Barry's restaurant when you came over there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the latest for the large marigolds? How late could you go on planting those seeds?
I think you could probably plant them for sure now and have bloom. Yeah, any time now you could plant some and still have bloom. Because
I remember one year I planted some, it was right around July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
They came up, and a few of them bloomed, but they didn't do too well. So I figured it was too late.
Well, marigolds tend to go down some and get spider mites and things like that in the fall. But I think you would be fine to plant them now. Yeah, they grow pretty fast.
That answered my question.
Well,
thank you all.
Well, my favorite thing to plant from seed that will get there would be a zinnia. They'll make it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I planted those the first week in July. They do great.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I plant about 15 to 20 acres of wildflowers every summer.
Just oh, wow.
Oh, me.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
The birds and the pollinators.
Yeah.
That's great.
Wonderful, Commissioner. Call us more often.
I'll do it. Thank you all. Have a good weekend.
You too.
You too.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Bye. So, Commissioner of Insurance, Mike Causey, traveling eastern North Carolina this morning. And, zinnias and... the wildflowers, they're just so pretty. I saw some on 40 that the state planted.
Mm-hmm.
And
Cleome, one of my favorite, or my grandmother said Cleome.
Yeah, ditch bank. Yeah. See them in ditch banks and different places. Yeah, that's they grow. They like sun.
You know, a foxglove is another thing you can cut the old spent blooms off,
mm-hmm.
They'll come back.
Yeah. They will. They're really pretty.
Let's talk to Jim in Durham. Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Morning.
How can we help you today?
Well, mine's not about planting. Mine's about Tony Rigsby.
Okay.
Yeah.
You may know about this already. Patrick Keenis, the announcer for the Durham Bulls, did a podcast. Interview with Tony Rigsby.
Yeah. I do know about that.
You do know about that?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I work with Tommy and have
I know you do, but I picked it up on my iPhone and listened to the podcast, and it was very, very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's great. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yeah, anybody that wants to hear about Tony Rigsby and hear how professional he is, just go on that podcast.
All right.
Well, Jim, let me tell you a little story about me and Tony Rigsby.
Okay.
Back in about 1974, he worked for a little radio station in Durham. I don't know the call letters.
WTIK.
WTIK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
Buddy. I went in there, and he was a young boy with black hair, skinny, and I was young in no sense.
Right.
And I went to do an interview. And there was a bluegrass band in that radio station, and it was like a saloon. There were swinging doors there, and I swung open those doors and joined that bluegrass band. And Tony and I just reminisced about that this very morning.
Right.
And what a decent, wonderful guy.
Right. Well, it was a wonderful interview with Patrick Kenas, the announcer for the Bulls, radio announcer for the Bulls.
Yeah, I don't know how often he does that, but he interviews a lot of different people for that.
He interviews a lot of folks. I love listening to the Durham Bulls games. And, of course, you know, Tony Ridge was announcing it for the fans of the
right.
game.
Right, yeah.
And, of course, I don't hear all that, but I can hear Patrick. But I really enjoyed his podcast he did with Tony, and it was very entertaining and very informative. And I just wanted to speak out for that.
All right. Glad you did. Are you working for Tony? Are you an agent or anything?
Yeah, I'm his agent.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to check. I didn't know who was doing his publicity right now. But,
he told
right.
me to call I've never met Tony. I've just heard him on the radio.
Oh, you need to meet him.
Yeah, you need to come on up here some Saturday.
Okay.
Sit with us, Jim.
Thanks so much, and y'all have a wonderful
day. All right. You too, Jim. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
That.
Take care of yourself.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. Let's take a break, maybe. No, I'll tell you what. I'll talk about King's Auto Service. And, you know, your cars are just so expensive. We were talking about electric cars. Some people are buying them. A lot of people are buying hybrids. Well, I don't know. I think it, at some point that Dean Bailey, who owns King's Auto Service, will get into fixing electric cars or dealing with the batteries. I don't know what you can fix. I mean, the rest of the car is pretty much like any other car with the tires and so forth. But the batteries and the computerization is a little more specialized. So you can, if you have a hybrid, go to King's Auto Service. If you have a internal combustion engine propelled vehicle, and most people do, they can work on just about anything except for the European cars. So make an appointment and be proactive. You know, do it right. Be proactive about problems with your car before they happen. Yeah, get them checked. Get the oil changed. That'll save you a lot of money in the long run, just being up to snuff on that. And the air filters, you know, not just for the engine, but also for the internal part, where you sit. But they can take care of all of that. And they have certified hybrid technicians, and they'll probably have certified EV technicians at some point at King's Auto Service. They've been around a long time, 1946. So they've had a lot of practice over the years, and they just get smarter and smarter and smarter. So make an appointment on Monday. King's Auto Service, 1039 North West Street in downtown Raleigh, at kingautomotive.net. More of the Weekend Gardener straight ahead here on WPTF. All right, we're back. Gosh, we only have a half hour.
I know, it goes by fast.
I drove all the way back from the beach to do 30 seconds. That's what it seems like.
No, it does. It goes by
fast. I got to work on Monday, too. Lewis, my buddy Lewis, is with us from Rocky Mount. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, buddy. What beach were you at?
Topsail Beach.
My favorite.
Yeah, southern part of Topsail Beach. My in-laws have had a cottage down there forever, and it's just a lot of people on that island now, but it's, I'll tell you, that new bridge just brought more people, and they got a circle, and people can't figure out how to use it, or there's just too many people in the circle, and it's really something. It's changed quite a bit, but it's many ways still the same old Topsail.
It is, and my folks retired to Surf City, North Carolina. Had a place right there on the water.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Near the old swing bridge.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I absolutely love Topsail. It's my favorite beach in the whole wide world.
Takes a long time to get off of it, but other than that, I mean, if you got a boat, that's fine. You can get away quickly. But.
Yeah, if you got a boat, you can also fish in that waterway and get some speckled trout in your boat.
Right. Ooh, yeah, well, there were plenty of people fishing out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Especially for spot on the pier in the fall.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Hey, Rufus, tell me about that bluegrass band that was at that radio station that day. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, if I recall, it's just somehow in my mind, it would have been about 1975, Lewis, and maybe it was Roanoke Valley Boys. I used to, I remember one time they came and sang for me at a birthday party, and I had some prior attachment to them, and and I walked in there, and this station had a swinging door to it, as I mentioned on the radio a while ago.
Just like a saloon, huh?
Yeah, like a saloon.
A honky-tonk.
And I bust through that door, and they were doing some song, I think, with the circle. Yeah, it was "With the Circle Be Unbroken." I do remember that.
Uh-huh.
And I chimed right in there, and that boy said, "You can sing, son." I said, "Well, I learned it at the Three Forks Baptist Church."
Uh-huh. Did they play there, too?
Well, but I think, Lewis, I'm guessing they might have been called the Roanoke Valley Boys.
That is so cool. That's sort of like Andy joining in with the Darlings, you know.
Absolutely. Exactly what it was like.
Well,
I'm sure.
I'm really geared up for Friday night in Raleigh at the Red Hat Amphitheater because I've got tickets to see the one and only Dwight Yoakam in concert.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Woo. Yeah, he was the best of Bakersfield.
Yeah. Bakersfield. I saw Dwight in New York City one time, and Buck Owens joined him on stage.
Oh, I love Buck Owens. Hey, yeah. Jason, where's that song from Buck Owens?
Love that one, yeah.
I can't remember. I don't know. We got some song.
Well, I'm gonna live here, you know. Tiger by the Tail.
No, it's not. It's not Tiger by the Tail. It's
Moon. Oh, you play it here sometimes.
I don't know. Jason's looking for it.
One time,
I don't care. Gems don't gin. Yeah.
Lewis, I was at the Grand Ole Opry one time, and Buck Owens was coming on, and he walked out in this big cowhide coat on and scared the devil out of me.
Wow.
I thought it was a cow coming to get me.
Yeah, he had that red, white, and blue guitar on Hee Haw, too.
Yeah, people thought, I mean, he was from Bakersfield, California. People thought he was from, you know, the Deep South. But I guess
Dwight's got a song called Streets of Bakersfield. And I believe Buck participated in that recording as well. But he carried on the Bakersfield tradition like nobody else has. And that's why I'm really thrilled to see him at the Red Hat this Friday night. So anyway,
wow.
He'll be rocking downtown Raleigh, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't know he was still touring. He kind of dropped out of sight. You know, a very talented guy.
Oh, yeah, he's done a lot of movie work, too. Obviously, his part in Sling Blade was a very, very good portrayal he did with Billy Bob Thornton in that movie. And, wow, just multi-talented guy.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if it had to do with ice cream or did it have to, do we have something, Buck Owens and ice cream?
Well,
I don't know. It was
pick it up and sign off with it, man.
Yeah, we just I don't know. Hot dog. Play that. You got that? All right, we'll have to. Lewis, keep listening.
I will, buddy.
All right.
Everybody in Nashville says hey.
Hey to them.
Hey.
All right, bye, Lewis.
Take care.
Do you too? All right, we're gonna. Yeah, that was hot dog. That was right.
Yeah.
Because we had several different hot dog songs that we were playing,
yeah,
in honor of Rufus and his love of hot dogs. So I don't know. I love Buck Owens.
Yeah, another Buck Owens song. Act naturally.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was. Everybody loved him on Hee Haw, but there's. He and Dwight Yoakam from Bakersfield, California.
Yep.
A lot of money. Buck Owens made a lot of money, real estate and all kinds of stuff. Smart man. All right, 919-860-9783. We have a little while left in the the program. Chip, my buddy Chip Winstead was saying he used to, Ann used to talk about, I'd ask her, when I'd remember, I ask you, the experts, what do we need to be doing in the landscape, in the garden right now? So, Phil, putting you on the spot, what can you think of right offhand?
Well, it's been, we got just a little bit of rain this week. You need to water, but don't overwater. I am still seeing people, they come in all the time and want to know what's happened to their plant, and probably 8 times out of 10, it's too much water.
Yeah. You know, so, if it could, your plant, if it's newly planted, it could be overwatered if it's, you know, drooping.
Right.
Or it could be dry. So
right.
you've got to figure that out.
Well, and the other thing is, if Rufus loves his sun patients, and a lot of people this year have purchased the regular impatiens. So when you see those or any flower drooping in the afternoon, it's actually just drooping most of the time from the sun and the heat, like we would if we stayed outside all day long. And then the next morning, it'll come back again after it gets some respite from the heat.
That's kind of the way I am at 3 o'clock in the morning when I have to get up to come in here. I'm kind of drooping.
Right. Yeah. Just dragging
but
a little
you know
bit.
What helps me when I come in, helps me wake up? It is so funny.
What?
Laughing.
Yeah.
If I get tickled about something, I suddenly, I feel more awake.
Right.
It kind of wakes me up.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Do you find that, counselor?
Norman Vince Peale said laughter's good medicine.
Oh, it is. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. But it wakes me up, too.
Now, Phil, you're talking about overwatering. If you've got a well-drained pot, I don't think you're going to have that problem in a pot of overwatering, because it's going to seep right on through. And I think on pots, the worst thing I find is people going off to the beach like Mike did for a week, and thinking those things in those pots are going to live.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to do some watering when I got home last night. Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. If you've got new sod that you probably put in, you might have put in early spring, of course that's going to need irrigation. We have a family right across the street from the nursery, and they put sod in, and it looks great. But they've got irrigation, and it's doing well. So you just, water is the biggest thing right now. People tend to water too much in the summertime and not enough in the wintertime. You tend to think it doesn't need any water in the winter, but it does.
Yeah.
There's been, for a while there, we had low humidity and then it went back up again. We were actually having to put water in our fish pool every day because the water was, of course, being taken up. One thing you can, it's still not too late to plant some things, especially containers. We do, as I said, we've got, if you're going to put something out now, we've got vinca. And vinca is really a hot and dry plant. If you have some mums that have come back in your yard and you want to cut those back, or you want those to look really good for the fall, between now and the 1st of July is going to be the time to cut those back. Trim them back just to where you want them, okay? Like if you want them to be about 6 or 8 inches high or 10 inches high and then bloom out in the fall for you, now is the time to get those. I noticed that...
Will one cutting do it, Phil?
Yes. Yes, if you cut it back now, it'll be fine.
I think a lot of people are under the impression that they got to keep cutting and cutting.
No.
I'm glad you said that, because I don't normally get any mums from you, because I they remind me of funerals, and they're wonderful plants, but I don't deal with them.
Yeah, just one cutting, and then if you have planted petunias, a lot of people this year, I think, have planted some of the pink... Oh, bubblegum, the proven winter bubblegum petunia, which does perform very well, or any petunias right now. You need to, right after the 4th, of course you want them to look good for the 4th, but then right after the 4th, you can cut those back about halfway or a little more, and they'll come back out, and they'll look good until frost.
Okay, I've seen you go around pinching them off.
Well, you can take some scissors and just cut those things back to about 6 or 8 inches, let them come back out. What they do is petunias tend to choke each other out.
Okay.
I mean, they get really, they're viney, and they get thick.
I have some right now that I think they're spent. I don't have to wait. I can trim those back right now.
Yeah.
How about verbena? Trim that back with verbena?
Same thing, yep.
Okay.
It never, I can't really say never, but pretty much never have I seen a problem with cutting a plant back, because it just gives it new life.
Yeah.
I think somebody this morning, I can't remember who it was now, was talking about when you cut something back, then, you know, it gives more strength.
I was saying, can you cut back a hydrangea and another bloom grow back? And we didn't think we knew about that.
Right. But, yeah, it's really not a problem to cut things back. And they will come out now and be really nice for the fall.
And another thing, the wonderful coleus you sent me, that they're a good one to cut back, because they can get 3 feet tall.
Oh, some
Precious
of them can get taller than that. Coleus, begonias, just pinch the tops out of some of, if you've planted something like the dragon wing or whopper, and it's becoming a little bit floppy in a container garden or something, just pinch the top out and it'll get thicker.
Yeah.
In the lawn, you can fertilize the warm season grasses
right
now.
Right.
Except for centipede. Well, I guess you could wait a little while, maybe end of June, with a special fertilizer, real low nitrogen fertilizer for the centipede. But the Bermuda and zoysia, so forth, you can fertilize. What about the vegetable garden?
Vegetable garden right now, we are starting to have cucumbers and things like that.
Mm-hmm. What about tomatoes?
Tomatoes, well, I've got some beautiful tomato plants, so I'm just hoping that they're going to stay alive. We have sold out of vegetables, so just try to don't water your tomatoes too much. If you look up, I guess, all the information on tomatoes, it's a lot of it is water. Like, don't water it too much, but water it enough. I mean, you can put too much water, and you have to be a little more regular with your water, I guess.
Rufus, how do you water your tomatoes?
Rule of thumb I use is about every 3 days.
Yeah.
If there's been no rain, and I put some Miracle-Gro in the other day, and I'll wait about another month on that. Well, I should have tomatoes in a month, like I had my first Rufus tomato today. And out of the 10 pots I've got one that's turning yellow. I'm pulling that thing out of there, taking it somewhere down in lower Harnett County, throw it away, away from my other plants. So I don't know what it is. Tomatoes is
so you don't think it's too little fertilizer, for instance?
No, not on that one. All right. And it's like you've often said, Mike, sometimes it's the easiest plant to grow, sometimes the hardest plant to grow.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, we had one that did the same thing, and I told the guys, I said, take the soil, go dump it on the back of the property, and do not put anything else in that pot.
It's come down with the will.
Palmer said to me. I showed him that yellow plant, and he said, well, Phil made us dump dirt out of way back on the back side of the property.
Yeah.
That in somebody else's yard? Or?
No, it's it's in ours, but Clorox.
There where I smoke cigars.
you have to Clorox the pot.
That's right by the Santa can.
There you go.
Hey, Sherry is with us in Pittsburgh, one of my favorite places on this beautiful earth. Hey, Sherry.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. How can we help you?
I have a couple of comments. I've only heard bits and pieces of the program. Earlier, you were talking about a plant. Thought she called it a mullein or something.
Mullein, yes.
And I missed the description on it.
Yeah, it's a weed. Major Dave up in Virginia was calling about it, and it's a weed, and it's a pretty big one, isn't it, Rufus?
Yes, it is. It's what we call dock back in the mountains, and as Phil mentioned, it has a velvety leaf to it. It
gray.
It has medicinal uses, or it used to, I don't know.
And a beautiful, beautiful yellow bloom on it, but grows like crazy.
The bottom part of it looks like a lamb's ear before it shoots up the stalk, the bloom stalk.
Yeah. Big leaves.
I'm familiar with the one that she just described.
Mm-hmm.
But then the one that somebody called Doc is different to me, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The one that I was thinking of that Phil was describing, it's commonly, you see it pretty commonly on the roadside.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Okay. All right. Moving on to my real question.
Okay.
And this is pretty loaded. I know this. Do any of you professionals have any recommendations for something that you can do, a do-it-yourself Japanese beetle deterrent? I know that literally dropping the bugs into a container of soapy water worked perfectly, but for something 8 or 10 feet tall, I can't do that.
Well, I've got one.
Get out of here!
It makes you feel better. When you shake the tree, but the little suckers come back.
Well, let me... For Japanese beetles, I've learned over the years, I've tried everything, but I've learned over the years that they don't stay long enough to really mess things up terribly, and that plants are pretty resilient. They're going to come back. They're going to shoot out new leaves. They're going to put out new growth, and pretty soon you're going to forget that the Japanese beetles were even there. So I don't like to use any type of poisons or anything like that.
No,
and I don't.
I'm not going to do that.
No, and I don't want to put out one of those stinking bags that they all fall in, and then you know you have
just
to.
Collect them from your neighbor's yard.
Right. Yeah, and
they
so
help the neighbors.
Right, and my thing is, you know, they've got a place in the world somehow. And I'm not sure what it is, but they do.
Not at my place.
Glad you added that comment because I was going to ask, and what is that purpose?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, but I'm sure there's something. But probably to aggravate us. It's what they're doing pretty good job of. But, I don't do anything. I just, all of a sudden, one day, they're just gone.
Yeah.
Well, are those the Japanese beetle the ones that eat the leaves of... The the hibiscus?
Yes, and they'll eat roses.
Yeah, roses and crepe myrtle flowers. And
but I've noticed that they will not eat the bloom of the hibiscus.
No, they just
you'll
eat
have
the
a
leaves.
Leaf that's just torn all to pieces.
Right.
But your bloom will be there.
I haven't really seen any evidence.
I haven't seen any yet.
Yeah.
I
need to share with you all then.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry you have them all. Oh, my.
They're in an ornamental cherry I have.
Too. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, good grief.
I bet they like that one.
Purple.
Yeah.
We call it a purple plum. It's one of those that doesn't bear fruit.
Sure.
A rose bush. They're just devouring.
Oh, yeah. They love roses. Well, just hope that they'll move on down to Wake County pretty soon.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to bring you some.
Yeah.
I've tried spraying soapy water on them
because
I can shoot that up high.
Ann used to like to squish them. Take them in her hand and squish them is what.
Sometimes I thump them.
Yeah.
I just take my take my finger and thump them as hard as I can.
Get rid of a lot of anxiety.
Now, that makes you feel really good.
I think that was the point. It doesn't get rid of a lot of them. But
it sounds like Sherry's got a flock of thousands.
Sounds like it.
It's
better than a gaggle of lawyers.
Yes.
Did you have a lot of cicadas? Hey, Sherry, did you have a lot of cicadas up there as well?
That was interesting.
You did in Pittsburgh, I know. That's the only place I heard them.
We did on my property, I would have to give you more explanation than you have time for.
Yeah,
we're running out of time.
very few. I know. I saw very few, but I heard them in the woods.
Right.
But then when I would go to, as Mike said, to Pittsburgh, especially in closer to heavily wooded areas,
mm-hmm.
oh, it was just like an orchestra sound.
Yeah, I mean, it was really loud. I'd never heard anything. They, like, not, they don't sound like the ones that
Cary.
We hear near the end of the summer.
They were in Cary. They were close to Lanes. He said it started. It sounded like a some type of electric car, you know, starting up.
Yeah, it just is very, very,
just
very
that
weird.
Constant hum.
Well, Sherry, thank you for calling us.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate
yes,
it.
Yes, ma'am.
They sounded like the weed leaf blower next door.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Goodness
All
gracious.
Kinds of stuff. Yeah. But, loud.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yes,
thank
ma'am. You. Appreciate you calling. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Well, let's head to Richard Petty Country, Randleman. Is this Adrian or Adrienne?
Adrian.
Adrian, how can we help you today?
Well, I know you don't have much time. I was just curious. We always put out hummingbird feeders, and this year there hasn't been a hummingbird around, but we had cicadas everywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
And they would hit you in the neck. They would hit you on the back of the leg. You have it in your hair.
Yeah, I saw them flying.
We had them for a long time. They finally moved on or died last week. But anybody seen any hummingbirds?
I have seen lots of hummingbirds at the nursery. But let me say this. If we have a cool spell like we did a week or so ago, they will... They kind of
they go down to Hilton Head.
Yeah, they go to Hilton Head, and then it seems like they come back more around when it gets hot again. So you should have some pretty soon.
Well, I told my husband that they didn't want to come around all the cicadas.
Well, like it could be.
Well,
could
yeah,
be.
They
you
don't. They don't like disturbances, and they were certainly right. disturbing.
Well,
maybe they'll come back now.
Yes, I hope so.
All right.
Well, have a blessed weekend.
I hope you,
you
do, too.
Adrian.
Please call us again.
I will. Thank you.
Tell Richard Petty I said hello, all right?
All right.
Bye-bye. Interviewed him a few times. Doug is in Raleigh. Doug, we got a couple of minutes for you. There we go. Hey, Doug. No, we don't have him. Okay, now we got Doug. All right. Hey, Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
How can we help you, sir?
I'm getting ready to clear out a bunch of irises. What's the best thing to do with them?
Divide them. Take a sharp knife and divide them. Put them back in the ground.
In different sunny places or give them some friends, nice pass-along plant?
Okay. They just spread so much then.
Yeah, yeah. They need dividing how often? Every 3 years, Phil Rufus?
3-4 years.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. I haven't done
Yeah, they
mine,
don't like but... to be crowded. They stop blooming, and, you know, yeah. they like sun, so plenty of sun and divide them. They're easy to divide.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
My buddy Mart Bumgardner, who is the extension agent in Orange County, is on the line. Mart, what you got going on, buddy? We got about a minute and a half.
A lot of calls about cicada damage.
Yeah.
On the trees, they're flagging. It's called flagging. It's bunches of dead leaves at the end. It could be maple. It could be oak. It could be even sweet gum. Tips are dying. The female laid eggs in them. Then she girdles it, and then that limb will fall to the ground. The eggs will pupate. The larva will crawl in the ground, and it starts that cycle over again.
So how about that?
A lot of dead tips on your oak trees and your maples and stuff, it's cicada damage.
Oh. How about that? I never heard of such a thing.
I like that new word, pupate.
Yeah.
That's right.
I got to look that up, Bart.
Okay. Well, I've been listening to you all morning. I've been changing oil in my truck, and I just want to give you...
Well, how long does it take to change the oil in your truck?
It took about 3 hours.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Great
well, we're out of
you.
Time, buddy. Thank you so much. See you soon.
Take care.
Bye. Bye, that's Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel retired, Mark Bumgardner. All right, we love you folks. Rufus, yep. Phil, we'll be back, God willing, in J.E. Womble in Lillington
right.
this coming weekend.
Be the person,
be here before you know it.
Be the person your dog thinks you are.
All right. That's right. Whether he has a good opinion of you or not.